Well, John, we're glad to have you here with us tonight. Come up here and join me if you don't mind. And we're going to just dialogue a little bit. Any of you down at the championship game the other night, the third game? Yeah, several of you were there. That's good. I got to go, and so it was a good time. We'll let you. You going to put that on before you start? Yeah. All right. Good deal. I'll lay that right there. Good deal. Amen. Well, let's get the first deal out of the way. You're tall.
I am tall.
Yeah. How tall are you?
I am 6'9". I am 1 inch taller than LeBron James.
Taller than LeBron James. Amen. And then you put on skates and you go how much more?
6'11", 7 foot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's when I met you the first time. You had on skates.
That's right.
And I'm like looking up the chimney there, you know. And so, but that was great. Got to come down and do the chapel with you guys a while back, and that was a good thing. Well, welcome. We're delighted you'd come spend a little time with us in our Sunday evening group. And so we'll just have a little chit-chat here, and you share your story with these people. I was going to ask you a few things. Now, where'd you grow up?
From Eagan, Minnesota, and I grew up in a Christian home, and my dad's side is a Catholic, and my mom's side is Lutheran, and we wound up going to Lutheran Church in Minnesota.
Okay. Now, so you grew up in Minnesota. What kind of hockey fan did that make you in Minnesota?
Well, actually, growing up, the Minnesota Wild, which is the team now, was not in existence
right. When
I was growing up, so I actually grew up idolizing Brett Favre and the Green Bay Packers and watching a lot of football.
Good deal. We like the Mississippi gambler from over here in Mississippi with Brett Favre. I was born in Detroit, so I grew up a Red Wings fan. And some people don't like that when we, you know, but that's okay. And but that was my hockey background before coming south and being here. So you grew up, though, did you play hockey as a kid in
Yeah, so my dad, he played college hockey at St. Cloud, which is a university in Minnesota, and he put me in skates when I was 3 years old. And
Three? Okay.
And hockey.
Were you like 5'2" when you were three, or what?
I was pretty short, actually.
Were you? Okay.
And yeah, so hockey in Minnesota is like football down here. Everyone does it, and you'd get home from school. Elementary school, middle school, and just get dropped off at the local outdoor rink, and they'd leave us there for 4 hours or however long they wanted to get rid of us for.
Okay. So you grow up as a kid, you're playing, then you play through high school, and then after that, what occurred in your life as far as your playing hockey?
Yeah, I went to high school in Minnesota at a small Christian high school, and then hockey's kind of a weird sport. You have to play junior hockey. And I wound up playing 3 years before I went to college.
Okay.
And I played just about in every city in America. Started off in Bismarck, North Dakota. Wound up in LaRonde, Saskatchewan. Okotoks, Alberta. Wound up in Spooner, Wisconsin. And then I was able to go to college from there.
Okay, and where'd you go to college?
I went to college at Gustavus Adolphus College. It's a small Christian school in southern Minnesota.
Okay, were you playing hockey there?
Playing hockey, yep.
All right, good. So you go to college and you're playing, and then what transpires in your life? How'd you wind up from the college to putting on a jersey playing in professional hockey?
So my coach at the time right here in Pensacola, Rod Eldoff, was my coach my last year of juniors in Wisconsin. And so as soon as my season ended my senior year, I got a text message at about 6:30 in the morning saying, do you want to keep playing? And 2 days later, I was down here.
Okay. So how long have you been in Pensacola?
So I got here last spring in March, and I was here to finish up the season for about a month and a half.
All right.
And I've been here since Thanksgiving time this year.
Good deal. And you're going to be here for a few more days, and then you're headed back home with family, I think. Is that correct?
Yeah, I'm actually leaving tomorrow morning. Going back to Minnesota.
Okay. Driving?
Driving.
Oh, that's a long. How far?
22 hours.
22 hours. Wow. Well, now, back in you're playing, though, there comes this physical challenge difference in your life that you've shared a little bit about. Some of our teenagers have heard you share a little of that, but not all of our people. So tell me a little bit, because, man, it's a tragic deal, and it was life-altering for you. Tell us about that and what happened.
Yeah, so growing up in my family, it was three things: faith, family, hockey.
All right.
And that's all I really knew growing up. And I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior at a young age. And my parents gave me the choice of what I wanted to do for high school. And all I'd ever known was my friends to be Christians and hockey. And I just kind of lived in a kind of a sheltered bubble life and never really had my faith tested. And so I got the choice to choose where I wanted to go, and I chose a school called Holy Angels in Minnesota. And it was a small Catholic high school, and I thought, sweet, I'm going to be able to go there, play hockey, and have Christian friends, and this is going to be a great 4 years. And from the moment I walked into school my freshman year, I was completely wrong. I was immediately outcasted. I was bullied for the choices I was making, the way I was living my life, which was being a Christian. And I kind of found out that being a Christian at this school was just not the cool thing to be. So it was a trouble start for me in high school. And going into my sophomore year, I still had hockey, but just a real rough friendships, and just really dreaded going to school every single day.
And before you move on to that, dig into that. How did that those people ostracizing you or bullying you, or how'd they show that? How'd they do that?
Just no one to sit with at lunch, just mocking me for what I believed in, and it started with the hockey team, to be honest.
With your fellow players?
Yeah. These are 14-year-old kids, freshmen in high school, that are drinking and doing drugs, and I was not one of them. And so making that stand at that young age really casted me out.
Okay. The cost involved to follow the Lord.
Yes, correct.
Indeed, yeah. Okay, go ahead.
So my sophomore year, my mom was diagnosed with breast cancer, and it just seemed like there was nothing really going right for me at this time. And I forgot to mention, I grew 9 inches my freshman year. And so
9 inches.
9 inches. So I came really, really uncoordinated. I really wasn't that good at hockey. I was just tripping on stairs and hitting my head on doorways, and not really that.
And trying to find pants to wear. I mean, you know,
your mom's
running to Sears getting stuff all the time, or whatever.
Still a problem. my mom's struggling with breast cancer, and it's just kind of a tough situation at home at the time. Going into my junior year, my mom's still battling cancer, and I go to hockey tryouts for my junior season, and I get cut. I get cut from my high school hockey team, and this was just my dream to play hockey. And my coach told me, you know, John, you should just look into something else, find something better, because you're not any good, and you're not going to make it. And I was like, wow, how can this really get any worse? And school lunches, I was eating in the bathroom. I was eating in the gymnasium, just not a good social life, and just not a typical high school kid would experience. But I still loved to play hockey, so I joined a junior gold hockey team, which is for kids that aren't good enough to play on their high school team, but they still love to play. And I joined this team called Wessie's Boys in the cities of Minnesota. And in a game in January, my hockey career nearly ended. I took a knee to the face, and my helmet flew off. I hit my head against the post and was unconscious on the ice.
Okay, some of these folks, they're not hockey connoisseurs, nor am I, but there's two or three things. Now, when you say you got hit, you've always been a goalie?
Correct, yep.
All right. So somebody hits you with a knee, and they wear a mask, and that comes off, and then you hit your head on the post. Now tell them what the post is, all right? They think a fence post when
the
you
post
say that.
The post is the steel bar that surrounds the net.
Okay.
And goalie equipment, you have so much equipment, you basically have, like, military stuff on, so you you shouldn't get hit that hard that your helmet would fly off. And I got hit at such a high impact by a player's knee that my helmet flew off. I went straight into the post and then hit my head on the ice as well.
Wow. So you hit the metal, you hit the ice. So we've got a problem here.
We got a big problem.
So tell us about that issue.
So the next thing that happens is I wake up in an ambulance and I'm on my way to the hospital. And at this point, I'm thinking, there's nothing worse that could happen to me than right now. And my mom, who is battling breast cancer at the Mayo Clinic in Minnesota, is the same hospital that I wind up at. And so I'm now at the same hospital with my mom with a third-degree concussion, brain bleed. I lost 50% of the nerves in my right arm. I had my vertebrae was out of alignment. And I was there for about a week, and just like the worst thing that I thought at the time, but through my testimony right now, it's the best thing that ever happened to me.
And why so?
So because of that hit, I never stepped another foot into the high school that I attended. I missed the entire spring semester, never went back to school at Holy Angels. And throughout this, I was doing rehab at the Mayo Clinic, and the doctors at the Mayo Clinic told me if I had symptoms after 6 months that I would never play hockey again, and I would be lucky to have a normal life. And this was, I couldn't walk from here to the end of the doorway over there without the room tilting, not being able to have my balance. My eyes weren't seeing what my brain was telling my eyes to see, and so I had to reteach my eyes to see what they were actually seeing, and it was a long, long process. But throughout this, I switched high schools, and not knowing that I would ever play hockey again, I did summer school the whole summer just so I would able to graduate on time, because the high school that I was at said, you need to retake your junior year. And I said, there's no chance I'm ever stepping another foot in that place, especially for another year. And so I attended this school called Minnehaha Academy. And from the day that I walked in there, I was accepted for the choices I was making, for actually being a Christian. And I thought, wow, this is so cool. But at the time, I didn't know that I was going to be able to play hockey. I was at the Mayo Clinic during the summer doing rehab, and it was just a long, long process. But about the time that I stepped into Minnehaha, my mom was cured of breast cancer. And so things started to turn around at that point.
Well, tell me a little bit about, you got to be thinking this dream, and you got a dream of playing, but so that dream, if it's not dying, it's dwindling, it's what's going on in John's head and in his heart about that?
I'll backtrack real quick here. I said I didn't have a whole friend group, and high school was tough, but I never was in such a depression or felt like what am I going to do now? I really leaned on prayer in high school, and I really felt calm and at peace, even with my mom being gone, taking in charge of the house, with my dad traveling and driving my sister to and from school. So I really wasn't in a vulnerable spot, as a lot of people would think. But then with the injury, I really, really, really started praying, and I had a lot of people praying for me. And I'll share one thing with you is one chaplain, Dean Swenson at Hosanna, told me, he goes, when man says no way, God says Yahweh. And that's a verse that is, or just a saying that has stuck out for me to this day. And so I had my high school coach told me I'd never play high school hockey. And the doctors at the Mayo Clinic said, you'll never play again if you have symptoms after 6 months. So I remember praying with my mom that summer. And we talk about the Lord knowing the desire of your heart. And I just prayed. I said, I surrender. If this is what you want with me, not to play hockey, then take the desire away from me. And 6 months from the day, I've never had a symptom again. I regained all the nerves back in my right arm, and I would not be here today without my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen. What a good word. Yeah. So So tell me about the first time you strapped stuff back on to play after that 6 month and you're walking through that. Tell me about the first time you put your skates back on.
Yeah, the first time was November, 2 weeks before hockey tryouts, my senior year. And I went out to the rink with my dad, and he brought tennis balls. And he shot tennis balls on me, just trying to get my reactions back and just trying to get back into it. And you lose a ton in 2 weeks, but losing for 8 months or 7 months, whatever the total length was a long process.
Sounds like your dad must be a pretty special guy.
Very special.
Yeah, tell me about him a little bit. What's he do now?
My dad right now, he does insurance back home in Minnesota, and he's just been a mentor and a role model in my life, putting me in skates and really stepping me out in my faith as well. One of my biggest fears in life was public speaking, and he really pressed me to share my testimony. And now I'm here in front of you guys.
Well, good. We're glad you're here. Amen. So you put the skates back on, and you got these 2 weeks till tryouts are coming. Your dad's out there shooting tennis balls at you, and you're trying to get your reflexes back and all of that. There's got to be a little fear involved or anxiety or can I really do this? Or so tell us kind of what went through that and how the Lord get you through it.
To be honest, I didn't. I was healed in the name of Jesus, and that last song that was on, Power in the Name of Jesus, really struck me there. And when I was healed, I just felt like a new person, and when I stepped back on the ice, after getting in shape, I was like a new goalie and a new person, and I wound up playing varsity hockey for my first year, my senior year, and just kept going from there.
All right. Amen. Good. So you work here. Now you come to Pensacola, and we got a pretty good deal going on with the Ice Flyers here. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, they're doing a good work. And so you're in this season, and we're going along there, and then all of a sudden you're the goal, and then they bring another guy in. So tell us about that.
To be back here this year, I wasn't really sure where I was going to be playing in the fall. And when I came back here, I couldn't have been more blessed to come back here. This is the greatest place to play hockey. It's a great organization, and we're one of few professional teams that has a team chaplain as well. And that goes to the management, our owner, our head coach, allowing him to come into the locker room every single week. And it's just a special place. So I was thrilled to be back here.
Good. And so this transition happened during the season, and so you had to, by faith, step up to that and receive that. Having teammates is very important, and being a teammate,
yeah,
even when you're not the first guy out there all the time, is important too.
For sure, and me and my goalie partner here at the end, Matt Sanzola, we were the best of friends off the ice, and we kind of said it's a we thing, not a me thing, and so everyone just kind of bought into what the final destination was, which was to win a championship, and everyone had a role. And for a couple months there, I was playing a lot of games, and it was really fun. But when that role switched for me, I knew that I had to be a good team guy and have a good attitude and do whatever I could to get everyone ready and just be really supportive as well.
Now, you mentioned the chapel. Tell me about T-Bone a little bit. He's one of our guys here. He's a member of our church, and he comes down and does that chapel with you guys. Tell me how important that is for him to be there. And you just said that ownership lets us do it, and we're grateful to God for them and for letting us come in and be a part. So tell us, you know, I know there's the gatherings, but there are other things that Dave does with you guys too.
Yeah, T-Bone, he's an amazing guy, amazing Christian, and he does so much for us. And I remember meeting with him this year, and he said that he wanted this year to be different. And I was like, how do you want it to be different? And he just said he wanted guys to step out and just to live their faith more so than just in the locker room, and just to be something bigger this year. And a lot of the fans that come to our games wouldn't see what we do before the game, but when the season started, I asked him to pray for me before games, and so we would go in a separate room, and we would just pray together. And as the weeks went on, and more games went on, more and more guys started to show up, and we had we had chapel every week, and I think he really reached out to different players on our team, and there was a special bond there. And by the end of our season, we had 9 guys praying before the games, which was so cool to see. And one of the closest teams I've ever been a part of, off the ice and on the ice as well.
I've done some work with a couple of guys in our church who were Major League Baseball players. And baseball chapel is big in Major League Baseball. And in talking with them, they're big time in the chapel situation. Football has a pretty good chapel scenario. But the guys told me that hockey is one of the toughest leagues to break into as far as chapels go. That it there's just not as much of. Of course, in the South, we have a more evangelical mindset, and as you said, football here. But in the North, it's a different kind of mindset that people come out of. A lot of times, a lot of Catholicism that's there. It doesn't lend itself as much to a chapel setting as we do here. So having that is like really big time, and for you guys to let him in there.
Yeah, it's huge. And the first game I ever was a part of here, coming from Minnesota, we were at Columbus. We were a road team, and the first thing that happened before the national anthem was a pastor came out and prayed on the ice, and I was like, wow, this is so cool. Like, we get in big trouble for this back home. So having T-Bone is the biggest blessing. Just every week to have just a little bit of fellowship with our teammates and to go week in and week out and to bring in different speakers as well, like yourself.
Yeah, I was telling him the other day, it was amazing. I was able to do the chapel before the playoff run, and we won 3 in a row after I was there. And I said, it's amazing how well they play after I talk. I don't know. It's a good thing. But I used a phrase that I stole from another guy. You mentioned that to me the other day.
Yeah, it was pretty special. Pastor Traylor came in, and he said, I want you guys to remember 2 things, just 2 things. And it was, so what, now what? So what, now what? So what? And he's like, so what? You win the championship this year, so what? You lose the championship, so what? And so as soon as he left the locker room that day, everyone on the team was using this phrase. And it really carried us in playoffs as well. Whenever someone would have a bad shift, someone would take a bad penalty. I witnessed other guys saying to each other, like, so what? You got a bad penalty. Who cares? What are you going to do now? And it was really cool to see the impact that had on us.
Amen. Well, you never know how powerful a word spoken is. That's not my word. I got that from Kevin Elko, who's just written a brand new book called The Sender, and he's got that in there. He does a lot of stuff with a lot of different sports teams. And so that phrase has really gripped me the last couple of years. You know, you preach a bad sermon, so what? Now what? What's next? Sing a bad song, John. I mean, you know, sometimes it just doesn't go well. So what? Now what? You can't live in the past. It's now. It's what you've got. So what? Now what? What's next? So with you, we're waiting to see if you're going to be on this squad next year, aren't we?
We are, yep.
When does that come? Is it next week or the week after, we think? We find out who the cuts are?
I'm actually not sure. It might be a couple weeks.
A couple of weeks yet. And so if you make it, so what?
Exactly.
Now what? If you get cut,
so what?
So what? You know, what's next? That's where we go. And it's a powerful, mindset to have, that you don't live in the past, you live in the future.
Correct.
And what's coming next, you get prepared for it and to do that. What? Well, 2 or 3 other things here I want us to talk about. Outside of...
Can I sort of interrupt you?
Sure, go right ahead.
So what? We won the championship. What a blessing to be sitting right here next to you.
Amen.
And to be doing this to now cap off the season. Yeah.
Because it affords that opportunity.
It does.
That kind of thing. See, you had a tough deal with that injury, and if I were just to ask you this question, I think you'd go there. But outside of that head injury,
yep.
What's the toughest thing that you've ever faced, and how did you handle that?
Toughest thing.
We talked about some of these things, but I always save a question or two to help him along at the end.
Yeah. It would definitely have been seeing my mom suffer from breast cancer, like
wow.
I said. I'm so close with my parents, and just to see my mom battling every day with what she was going through and not really being able to do anything was hands down the toughest thing. But a verse that stuck out with her in her trials, and a verse that stuck out with me and my injury and to this year, and T-Bone used it, and Pastor Mike came in our locker room and used it as well, was Hebrews 12:2. Fix your eyes on Jesus. And you can easily look at your situation and look to your left and your right and be like, why me? Why is this happening to me? But it's when you look up and actually say, Jesus, take control of this, is when you start to see things.
Amen. Yeah. Now, you talked about your testimony accepting Christ. How did that happen in your life? I think your dad must have had something to do with that, I think you said. But how'd you come to faith in Christ? And tell me about that day when you trusted the Lord.
I just remember at a very young age just praying before every meal and not really understanding it as a young kid. But I do remember being at Bible study in third grade at a lake summer camp and accepting Christ for the first time at a bonfire with camp counselors. And Amen. That was the first time.
Yeah. So when you did that, you invite Christ to come into your life. We all understand we're sinners. And then we see he died for us, and then we just simply invite him into our heart and ask him to save us. And for anybody that's out here tonight, that maybe you've not done that, I'm telling you, this athlete would tell you the greatest thing that you could ever do is invite Christ to come into your life, because he's the changer and he's the sustainer. He's the one that makes it real and gets you through. He's in the middle of that so what, now what. He's the power for that. If you told kids anything, what would you tell high schoolers today?
If I could tell a high schooler, if even telling you guys, I would say the same thing. As we just had this last hockey season, you don't win a championship in one day. It's a long process, and you have to take it one day at a time. You have to take it one practice at a time, one workout at a time, one game at a time. And that goes for life as well. And with Jesus, I would say work on one day of faith at a time. If you've accepted Christ and you haven't opened up your Bible in a while, start with one page a day. Just start with one prayer a day. Just focus on that one day of how is Jesus going to impact you. And then to compare it to hockey is, we don't know if we're ever going to be traded. We don't know if we're going to be sent up, if we're going to be sent down, if we're going to be cut. And the same thing in the world today is there's tough economies, there's illnesses, there's sicknesses, and you just need to ask Jesus to answer your prayers on his timing, because it's never our timing that's the best, it's his timing that's the best.
Amen.
So, and then the final thing is, when you do get those prayers answered, this is what T-Bone tells us, is to deflect the glory and give it all back to him instead of yourself. So share it with someone, testimony, whatever you have to do, but deflect the glory to him.
Amen. Brothers and sisters, for you? You have brothers, sisters?
One sister, yep.
Yeah.
And she's in law school back home in Minnesota.
Okay. Is she like 6'5", or how tall is she?
No, my parents always get mad at me anytime a news article comes out or I do any kind of story or interview. I always say they're short. And they are short compared to me. My dad's 6 foot, my mom's 5'7", and I'm 6'9". My sister's 5'7", too.
Where did you come from?
I have no idea.
If there's anything else in your heart that you'd share with our congregation, anything else that you just want to share with them, and just a word out of John's heart to these people?
I just want to thank this community, to be honest. I've wanted to do this for a while. I feel like this is a second home for me here in Pensacola, and the amount of people that have outreached and came up to me over the last year has been so special to me, and I just can't thank you guys enough for embracing me, and it's just been a special place, and I love it here, and we appreciate everything that you did for us this year as fans and stuff in the community and letters that we get, and just having like a personal relationship with the fans, because that's a special thing that doesn't exist in a lot of other places.
Well, I tell you what, I'm gonna hope you're back with us. I'm gonna cheat I'm going to pray you come back to be with us too, all right? But if that's not the Lord's mind, he's got another place for you. But it would sure thrill our soul if Pensacola was home again for John McClain. We would love to have that happen. Go
thank
right
you.
Ahead.
No, thank you, and I appreciate you letting me come up here and share the sermon with you, because I don't think I would give you my goalie net to share with me. So I appreciate you letting me come up here.
Amen.